Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see each one of you here today as we gather in the house of the Lord to worship the one true and living God. Special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today, and also special welcome to those joining us via live stream today. As we're called to worship today, it is a sobering thought to think about that when God sent Jesus into the world as a baby, not everyone recognized him. And therefore, they did not worship him. Today, we come to this time of worship asking God for the faith that will open our eyes to see Jesus for who he really is. For faith to worship him in spirit and in truth. So would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, open our eyes to see your glory today. Open our ears to hear your wisdom. Open our hands to offer you our gifts. And open our mouths to sing praises to you. And open our hearts so we can offer our sincere love to you. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Please join in worship.
If you'll please stand to join us in worship this morning. And also during this first song, we'll be lifting the offering. The children may also come forward for my points count.
In prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the ability to join together this morning and worship you, Lord. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for the tithes and the offerings that are presented as an act of praise to you this morning, Lord. We ask that they go to the bishops, current and previous, that they would take care of their needs, Lord, for their health care and for their daily needs, Lord, that they would Bless them, Lord. We thank you for the service that they have offered the churches in this area, Lord, and thank you for the dedication to you, Lord, in spreading the gospel and strengthening the pastors in the churches of the district here, Lord. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
To follow. so that life in heaven can be as much like that here on earth as possible, so that we can dwell with you and experience your presence. Just pray that your glory would be revealed to us, that our anthem could be, yeah, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, he's the great I am. No one is worthy but you. I just pray that you would speak to us and reveal yourself through what you have given Larry to share with us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's message this morning. Okay, well, good morning. Hello? Good morning. Good to see you today. So this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about faith, maybe trust, faith. Yeah. So every day you get up, you put your faith in a lot of things. You know that? What happens if... What do you think is going to happen if you go over to the light switch and flip the light switch?
It's going to turn on.
Right, light's going to come on. Exactly.
Yeah. And you'll need more battery to turn it on.
Exactly. So if you sit in this chair, what do you think is going to happen?
Nothing.
Nothing. The chair is not going to collapse, right? It's going to hold you when you sit on it. So you have faith and trust that whoever designed this chair knew what they were doing, and that when you sit on it,
it
doesn't break, right? So you can sit on it. So you have trust and faith that it's going to hold you up when you sit down. So there's
I have a higher chair than that.
You do? Good. So in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So trusting God isn't always easy to do, because sometimes we go through some difficult things in life that makes it difficult because we don't always know what the outcome is going to be. And then in Hebrews 11:6, it also says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So I think that we want to please God, right? That's what we want to do. So sometimes God might ask us to do something that we don't understand or that seems impossible. So this morning, I have this baggie here with water in it. Drink it? No, I don't think so. So do you think that if I stuck this pencil into this bag of water that it would leak?
No. 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 Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Do it.
Well, we're gonna find out what happens. So I'm gonna ask Tyler to come here. Sit on this chair. And I need somebody to hold the bag over his head. Somebody a little taller. Nate, you want to come and do it?
Oh.
So we're going to hold this bag over his head, and I didn't bring a towel along, so if it doesn't work, I guess I have to go out in the restroom and get you some paper towel to dry off with. But I'm going to stick this pencil in this baggie filled with water, and we're going to see if it leaks. You were right. Did you get wet?
No, I didn't get wet.
Well, I got three more here. Let's try it. Let's try it. We got three more chances. So we got all those pencils sticking in the baggie filled with water, and not a drop came out. So sometimes things happen in life that we don't understand why things happen the way they do. But we need to trust God because he's got everything under control. So thank you. Thank you, Nate. Well, you want to make sure there's water in here. Yep. It's leaking out. Okay, so I'm going to have a prayer for you, with you guys, and then you can go back to your seats. And there's a snack there at the end of the bench for you to grab one of those as well. So God, we just thank you for these children, and I just pray and ask in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that they would place their faith and trust in you, who makes things that may seem impossible possible in our lives. So I ask for your blessing upon them today. In Jesus' name, amen. So grab a snack and head back to your parents. Well, greetings in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ. It's good to see each one of you here this morning, and certainly good for me to be here today. These last 3 or 4 months have been an incredible journey for Sandy and I as we've made some adjustments, transitioning from turning 65 and going through the process of signing up for Medicare and all that that entails, to transitioning from lead pastor to associate pastor, and then transitioning to the role of chaplain at Brubaker Excavating, which, by the way, I'm enjoying thoroughly. It's been an incredible adventure, and we thank you for all your prayers on our behalf as we've made that journey. We got to practice what I've been preaching for the last number of years, and that is trust God. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what you need. He's got everything under his control. So I would love to stand here this morning and tell you that I never had an anxious moment or an anxious thought through these last 3 or 4 months. But I can't honestly say that. You see, probably like most of you, I feel like I got it. I want to feel like I got everything under control. And through this season of transition, I had my moments of worry and anxiety, because there were some times I felt like things weren't in my control. Perhaps you could say that I'm from the dark ages, because when I think of like signing up for something like Medicare, I like to talk to people, you know, a real live person. So when someone told me, well, you just go online and you fill out the application and then you push the send button and it'll put the wheels in motion for everything to happen. It's like, okay, I didn't grow up with computers. So for someone to tell me that, it's like, okay, I guess that will work. So when I filled out the application, which was not hard, but pushed the submit button and like, there it goes, somewhere. I hope it goes where or ends up where it's supposed to be, that the right person gets it. But then in several minutes, I got an email response. We received your application. So it all worked out, but it's like all those things, require to put your faith and trust in other people. So that leads me to the title of the message this morning, Got Faith? Have you got faith in a question form? So have you ever wondered about faith? Doubted that you had faith or wished maybe that you had more faith? And according to what I read in Scripture, faith is a very important factor in our walk with the Lord. So as I was preparing for this message, I came across this story. One day there was a young believer in Jesus who truly, truly desired to receive all that God had for him. So he stopped by the home of an elderly Christian. He had heard that this elderly man had never lost his first love for Jesus, even after following Jesus for many, many years. So the elderly man was sitting on his front porch with his dog by his side. And they were taking in a beautiful sunset. So the young man approached him and he asked this question. So why is it, sir, that so many Christians zealously chase after God during the first year or two or three after their conversion? And then many seem to fall into a complacent ritual of attending church maybe once or twice a week. But then they end up not looking any different than their neighbors who aren't even Christians. Now, I've been told that you're not like that. So the elderly man, he smiled and he replied, "Let me tell you a story." He said, "One day I was sitting here on the porch quietly with my dog. We were soaking in the warm sunshine. And all of a sudden, a large white rabbit ran across the field right here in front of us. Well, my dog jumped up, got off the porch, and ran after that rabbit. He chased that rabbit over the hills with a passion. And soon there was other dogs that joined him because they were attracted by the barking and all the commotion. And what a sight it was, son, as that pack of dogs ran chasing that rabbit over the creeks, through the creeks, up stony embankments, through briar patches. Gradually, however, one by one, the other dogs dropped out of the pursuit. Discouraged by the course and frustrated by the chase. It was only my dog who continued to hotly pursue that white rabbit. In that story, young man, lies the answer to your question. So after a time of thoughtful silence, the young man finally said, "Sir, I don't understand. What is the connection between a rabbit chase and the quest for God?" "Well, you fail to understand," answered the well-seasoned old man, "because you failed to ask the obvious question." And that question is, why didn't the other dogs continue the chase? And the answer to that question is because they didn't actually see the white rabbit. So unless you see the prize, the chase is just too difficult. You will lack the faith, you will lack the passion to keep up the chase. In Philippians 3, 12 to 14, the Apostle Paul says, "Not that I've already obtained all this, I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul says that his goal is to know Christ, to be like Christ, and to be all that Christ has in mind for him. Paul had reason to forget what was behind because he had persecuted Christians. Everyone here this morning has done things that we're ashamed of because we're all sinners. So we live in this tension of what we have been and what we desire to be. So for the born-again believer, someone who has confessed their sin to God, repented, turned away from sin, and asked God for forgiveness, they will receive forgiveness or be completely forgiven by God. Not because of anything they have done to earn forgiveness, but because of Jesus Christ's willingness to take the punishment that we all deserved for our sin. He died on the cross and then rose again 3 days later, conquering sin and death and securing the gift of eternal life for all who believe in and place their faith in Jesus. So perhaps the reason why it seems so easy to become discouraged and faint-hearted in our pursuit of Jesus is because we really don't understand the depth of the forgiveness that we have received, and we really don't understand the depth of God's love for us. Got faith? Don't dwell on your past. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on Jesus. And don't allow yourself to be distracted. Press into God through prayer, spending time in His presence, concentrating on your relationship with Him with a deep desire and passion to grow spiritually and to go deeper. Realize that you are forgiven, and then move forward in faith and obedience to a fuller, more meaningful life because of your faith in Jesus Christ. The truth is, you cannot live a single day without exercising faith in something. Like I mentioned, if you flip the light switch, you have faith that the lights are going to come on. When you get into your vehicle, you turn the key, you have faith that it's going to start. Every time you walk into a building, you're expressing faith in the architect that designed the building, and the construction crew followed the blueprints, you're trusting that the building's not going to fall down and collapse. Faith is not just something to talk about. It requires action. So in James 2, 14 to 26, it says this. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. When someone claims to have faith, what he or she may actually have is intellectual assent or agreement with a set of Christian teachings, which I believe is incomplete faith. I believe that true genuine faith transforms our conduct, transforms our thoughts, transforms our attitudes. And if our lives remain unchanged, perhaps we really don't believe the truths we claim to believe. Please understand that we cannot earn our salvation by serving God. But such actions reveal that we have been transformed by the Holy Spirit living within us. So deeds of service which are motivated by our love for God and not a substitute for, but is rather a verification of our faith in Christ. I believe there's a lot of persons who are doing a lot of good things, and they're believing that because they do good things, then they will automatically enter into heaven. The scriptures are very clear. We need to place our complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. So we need to keep our eyes on the prize. In Acts 4:12, where Peter and John were taken before the Sanhedrin, Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, says this, among other things. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Then in Hebrews 11, known as the Hall of Faith, we have a description of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There's two words there that describe faith: sure and certain. These two qualities need a secure beginning and ending point. The beginning point of faith is believing in God's character, believing that He is the great I am, believing that He is exactly who He says He is. The ending point is believing in God's promises, that He will do exactly what He says He will do. We can discover both of those things, who God is and what His promises are, in God's holy word. When we believe that God will fulfill His promises, even though we don't see them being fulfilled yet, we demonstrate faith. Got faith? The writer of Hebrews goes on to say in Hebrews 11, verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." So please understand very clearly this morning, believing that God exists, excuse me, is only the beginning point. James 2:19b says, "Even the demons believe that, and they shudder." So listen closely. God will not settle for the mere acknowledgement of His existence. He longs for a deep, dynamic, living relationship with Him that will transform your life. You got faith? The scriptures do tell us in numerous places that if we do seek God with all of our heart, we will find Him. So as I was preparing for this message, I came across this video on YouTube. Now, the quality of the video, as far as the picture goes, may not be real good. But I'd like you to watch and listen closely to the message that's being communicated. Debbie, would you show that video?
Charles Blondin, he was one of the greatest tightrope walkers in the history of the world. And one of his greatest feats was walking the Niagara Falls on a tightrope, 11,000 feet long, 160 feet above the water. And this he accomplished a number of times, and always with different theatric variations. Blindfolded, in a sack, pushing a wheelbarrow, on stilts, carrying a man on his back, and sitting down one time midway while he made an egg, an omelet. And one day after he had pushed a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls and come back on that tightrope, he asked a question. "How many of you believe that I could put a person in this wheelbarrow and push him across the tightrope?" And everybody cheered and yelled and screamed, and everybody believed. And then he asked for a volunteer. And the crowd grew very, very quiet until one man stepped out of the crowd and got in the wheelbarrow. There's a difference between the crowd and the man in the wheelbarrow. In regards to God, where are you? In the crowd? Saying, oh, I believe there's a God. I believe Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. I believe there's a new world coming. Or are you in the wheelbarrow? You know, it doesn't really make much difference when you're standing on shore. It makes a lot of difference halfway across the tightrope. And in our everyday experiences, in our life, in our choices, in our waking up, going through our days, and going back to bed, we can play it safe. We can stay in the boat. We can maintain our comfort zone, or we can walk on the water with Jesus. But if you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. What do you think about? What are you connected to? What's driving you? What's motivating you? What makes you make the choices you make? Who is most important in your life? Not in your words, not out of your mouth, but out of your life.
Got faith? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? How deep is your faith? Now, please understand, I don't want to alarm anyone here this morning. But this is what I sense deep within my spirit. One of the gods of our day today is comfort. And in my opinion, it is sought after and it is worshipped. So if you can hear my voice this morning, pay very close attention. There is a day that is very rapidly approaching. There is a day coming when the comforts that we enjoy here in the United States of America is going to be stripped away. Anyone who does not have a deep faith and trust in the great I am, anyone who does not have a dynamic, intimate relationship with God the Father through His Son Jesus Christ, anyone who is not in tune with the Holy Spirit of the one true and living God will be overwhelmed by the loss of comfort. Today, you have a choice to make. Are you going to be in the crowd cheering, or are you going to decide to get into the wheelbarrow and place your complete faith and trust in God so that when your comfort is stripped away, you have an anchor? You have an anchor like the one described in Hebrews 6:19a, which says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure. I'm going to give some invitations this morning. So, John, would you come and strum a few chords while I give these invitations? There's going to be three parts to this invitation. So listen carefully. The first invitation I want to give, I'm going to open it up for anyone to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to take a stand and say, today I want to place my faith and trust in Him as my Lord and Savior because I'm a sinner and I need Jesus to save me. So is there anyone here this morning who would like to signify their desire to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? If you're here today and you would like to do that, you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you raise your hand? I'm not going to linger long, but I do want to give you the opportunity to respond if. And a good indication of whether you respond is your heart beating rapidly. So one more time, is there anyone who would like to receive Jesus as their Savior this morning? Raise your hand. Second invitation is for anyone who is here this morning and who realizes that they are lukewarm in their faith. Maybe you become lackadaisical in your relationship with God. And today you want to take a stand and say, today I'm asking, coming to God and saying, I'm here. I desire to renew that relationship, to ignite a fire within you, to place your trust, faith and trust in Jesus. Is there anyone who would like to say yes? I'm here today. Would you raise your hand? I'm acknowledging. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. There's another one. I'm acknowledging I've been lackadaisical in my faith and trust. Today I'm asking, I want that fire, that the igniting of the fire in my spirit to draw me closer to God. And I want to make that choice and say, I'm coming. Praise God. Is there anyone else? Okay, the third invitation this morning is this. And I'm responding to this invitation already. The invitation is to raise your hand, asking God to increase your faith. You want to place your complete faith and trust in Him. I want to be very clear. Don't just raise your hand because the person beside you raised their hand. Raise your hand because you're sincerely desiring for that to happen. So praise God. If you desire for that to happen this morning, raise your hand in acknowledgement. I want to have more faith. I want my faith to increase. My faith and trust in Almighty God to increase. I'm going to pray and ask God that He would give us that faith. Because like I mentioned, I believe there's a time coming here in the United States of America where we're going to need to have a deep faith and trust in God, an anchor that's going to hold us firm and secure. And without that, we're going to be washed by the waves of adversity. So praise God for everyone who's raised their hands, and I'm going to now offer a prayer. Almighty God, we just come before You today thanking You in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ that You provided a way for us to be reconciled back to you. So I pray for those persons who've raised their hands and said they want to have an ignition in their heart and spirit, a refreshing coming back to Jesus, realizing that maybe they've been lukewarm and lackadaisical. And I just pray, Father God, that you would draw them close to yourself as they turn their face towards you, that you would fill them with your Spirit, and that they would fall deeply in love with you again. And now I just want to pray for every person who raised their hand here this morning, acknowledging and asking God for a deeper faith and trust in you. I just pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would release that faith within them. And as they wake up in the mornings, that the first thing they would think about is you and what you've done on the cross of Calvary for them. Lord, you tell us that we don't receive because we don't ask. So we're coming this morning, we're asking in the name of Jesus Christ that you would ignite within us a deep, sincere faith and trust in you. So that when the storms arise and the waves get high, that we do have that anchor. And we thank you and praise you that we do have that. You provide that for us. We ask for your blessing on our lives today. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So we're going to sing Faith is the Victory as a closing song. So I would invite the worship team to come forward. Please join in singing.
Glory to you. Good morning, everyone. I'm excited about next weekend, and I'm hoping to excite a few more men to join in, because there is plenty of beds up there. So if you want to be refreshed, energized, next weekend you can join us. We're going to Birch Haven Cabin again, which we did 2 years ago. Just a few notes to those men that have already signed up and will. Tyler and I will be up there hopefully a little bit earlier, maybe 4 o'clock or something. We're going to put a sign at the end of the driveway after you turn off of the main road there coming in, so that when on Turkey Ridge Road, you know where the lane is to go up to the cabin. There'll be a sign there at the end of the lane. As far as going up to the cabin, let me know if some men want to meet here. Carpooling would be great. I know men we like to do our own thing, and I know a couple guys already that said they'll see me up at the cabin, and so I'm okay with that. If you want to get together and meet here at the church, or you meet with your friends or family that are going along, you can work that out. If you need some help with that, just contact me. The cost is $80. If you're writing a check, make it out to Bowman's Mennonite Church or BMC, and that only needs to be paid at the cabin. We don't need that in advance. Some flyers at the front and the back out there, just some notes about it. Just some additional things is you bring along any like card games or puzzles or anything like that. I know last year those were some things that I didn't have on this list, so I just thought I'd add that to that. So I'm looking for another great weekend. We're going to have some men sharing their life stories, their testimonies. And there'd be time if you want to share your story too, because what better is it to be at the cabin and sharing our stories of what of our life with each other. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Glenn, and I would encourage any men here this morning to sign up for the retreat next weekend. So would you stand to receive this parting blessing? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.